This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
97.1 FM Talk. This is Wiggins America. I've been looking forward to this interview all weekend. This is Bob Zeidman on the phone with us. He has a book called Election Hacks, Lindell versus Zeidman, because you have now a storied history with Mike Lindell, and I want to hear all about it. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ryan. Thanks for having me on your show.
So in this book, let's walk through the story that happens here, because I remember Mike Lindell talking about his symposium, and it's all about election fraud. And on this show, I mean, just for the record, on this show, we do talk about election integrity. We talk about election fraud. We also vet claims that aren't true. I don't really care what is true. I just want to know what it is. So if there's fraud, I want to find out. If there's not, if these claims are bunk, I want to find that out too. And that's why you're here today, is to talk about some of Lindell's claims, which I personally, now, I did not do nearly the research that you did, but when he was releasing some of these things, I did do some, and I never really found any veracity to the claims that he made in particular. Doesn't mean that there aren't other claims, but the ones that he was making, I found to be weak at best. So you went to his symposium, which I remember him talking about. Take it from there. What happens after you decide to go to the Mike Lindell symposium?
Sure. First, if you don't mind, I just want to thank you for what you do, because so many people just have about a lot of things, but particularly about election fraud these days. They just have an opinion where they ignore what doesn't fit with their belief system. And, you know, I'm happy that you're willing to take a rational look at it and examine the facts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully on every issue, but certainly with this one.
Yeah. So I think your question was, how did I find out about the symposium, or why did I go?
Yeah, what happened once you went to the symposium? What were you intending to do, and then what happened?
Well, so it took some convincing from friends that I should go, because I just thought, first of all, I'd heard that Lindell was offering $5 million prize to anyone who could prove him wrong. And I told people he must be confident. You know, it doesn't mean that the data was correct, but it at least was significant and accurate, and that if it wasn't correct, I wasn't going to be able to figure it out in 3 days. And I read about it, and I had assumed that he had really highly competent people who had examined the data and come to a conclusion, which could have been wrong. But again, I've done this kind of thing as a career, examining data in courts and taking the results to court. And it always takes more than 3 days. It takes weeks, sometimes months, to understand what it is. But friends convinced me to go, and that I would be there when history was made. Either data was going to be put out that showed the election was fraudulent and Donald Trump had really won, not Joe Biden. Or even if not, it would eventually come out that this was bogus data, but in any case, I would be there at that historic moment. So that was my only expectation. when I went to the symposium.
So, Bob, refresh our collective memory. What exactly did Mike Lindell reveal or claim to have at that symposium that was going to shock the world?
So shortly after Joe Biden was put in, was his inauguration, Mike Lindell said he had proof that somebody had hacked into our voting systems and purposely changed votes. At one point, the explanation was that the voting machine companies had purposely done this to switch the votes. Another time, it was the Democrats, the deep state. The culprit kept changing, from what I remember, until he settled on China. China had actually hacked into our elections over the internet and went into each voting machine or the significant ones and changed the votes. And he had gotten the proof, which made me a little suspicious. I didn't know why a pillow salesman would have the proof and nobody else did, but you know, strange things happen. So I thought, well, maybe it's a possibility.
Yeah, it seemed like he had the money. It was more than anything else. He had the money to hire the people that could look into these things, even if he wasn't the one personally doing it. But so Bob Zeidman on the phone with us. He wrote the book Election Hacks, Lindell versus Zeidman. So where does the story go from there? So you attend the symposium. You hear what he's presenting or his presenters are presenting for 3 days. Then what happens?
Well, actually, I know people who are very close to Lindell. I got myself invited. You had, as a cyber expert, someone who could examine the data, you had to get a specific invitation. So I got myself that invitation. And while people were giving speeches in one room, in one auditorium, there were a couple of small rooms to the side with a guard. And if you had the credentials, which was a hot pink dot on your badge, they would let you into the room to examine the data that he and his team, well, Lindell's team, were giving out to all of the cyber experts. So I went into this room. While people were speaking, I went into this room and started looking at a massive amount of data. It actually took us hours just to download it and get it onto people's computers. And everyone started looking at it, and I thought, well, this is a pointless exercise. But I thought, what the heck, I'm here. So I started looking at the data myself. And having worked in computers since I was 13, so that was over 50 years ago, I just started recognizing some patterns in the data. And I said, well, I wonder if this could be this. If you did this kind of transformation on it, you know, would it turn into something else? And it did. And these transformations were not changing the data. They were just, you know, for example, you could, if you were to look at the ones and zeros in a word processing document, then it would just look like ones and zeros. But if you put it into Microsoft Word, it suddenly pops up, the same data pops up as a document. And that's essentially what I was doing. I was just saying, well, let me look at it in this format. Let me translate it to this other format. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, that's what actually popped up, a Word document full of gibberish. But it was a fully formatted thousands of pages or hundreds, I forget, hundreds or thousands of pages of fully formatted, perfectly formatted gibberish. And that's when I realized that these were just ordinary documents that somebody had gone through these transformations that I had undone to make it look like something indecipherable. And that's when I excused myself from the room of cyber experts and walked out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside and started walking towards my hotel, and I called up my wife on the phone, and I said, quietly so nobody could hear me, I said, start thinking about what you want to do with $5 million.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, okay, so break that down for me, because as a person, and assuming most people listening are not cyber experts, what did you just say there? That somebody went in and falsified reports to make it look like there was election fraud when there wasn't? Is that what you're saying?
This wasn't even election data. It was. So what happened is Lindell had said, I have packet data. Packet data, if you're on the internet, if you're sending cat videos or emails over the internet, that turns into ones and zeros that are divided into small packets, so that all these small packets are sent one at a time over the internet. And then they're reassembled at the end. If you're sending an email to your mom, your mom's computer will reassemble it into what looks like an email. And he had told everyone that this is going to be packet data, packets of Chinese hacking into the network of voting machines. So everyone was looking for packet data, and because I do this in court all the time, I a lot of my work is working in court, I don't trust what people tell me. So if they tell me it's packet data, and it's not, because this was not packet data, I start looking for other things, and I've created my own tools for looking at things, too. And then as I was starting to look for things, that's where I found this data. But it had nothing to do with elections, nothing to do with networks, nothing to do with voting machines. It was simple. In some cases, it was Word documents that somebody had just run through a translator to make it look like something else. When I say translator, like, for example, if you translated English to Swahili and then said, look at this complicated document with all these weird words in it. If you don't speak Swahili, you'd say, wow, that looks really complicated. But it was just simply a translation.
Okay, so what happens from there? And I'm really curious to know, did you approach this with kind of an open mind saying, hey, maybe there is or maybe there isn't? Or did you say, I'm going to go into this to disprove whatever he's going to do? I mean, I would think that that's kind of what you do all the time, is that you're constantly having to be skeptical of any data you're presented.
Yeah, exactly. So I give talks, I've written books, I like talking to students, and I always tell them, be the first to challenge your own beliefs and your own work. If you do research, one thing that bothers me immensely, and I've written about this, is you get at universities, for example, even the top universities in the country, you get people publishing results from some study or doing some analysis, but they never challenge it. They rarely do that. They rarely say to themselves or in the paper, here's the assumptions I made, and maybe these assumptions are wrong. Here's the analysis I did, and if somebody can point out my mistakes, please contact me. I've had a lot of experience in computer science where I've invented some tools where I went to professors at major universities, and this is in the book, and I've said, you know, I think your tool is wrong. Let's discuss it and see if we can figure out how to create the best tool possible. And the response is always, I'm right, you're wrong. So I tell people, you know, what I do in court is I don't present any results until I've attacked them before the other side has. And if I find mistakes, I fix them. So that's what I do all the time. So if, you know, I was hoping this was signs of China hacking, because that would have been incredible news and affected our entire election. But I wanted to attack it before anyone else would. And when I started attacking it, it just fell apart easily.
Okay, so $5 million is on the line. So you walk out of the symposium, you walk out of looking at this stuff, and you call your wife and you go, I think we're going to make $5 million. Well, yeah. What briefly happened from there? I know there's a lot that happens, but how can you summarize it?
Yeah, I think the summary is basically that I wrote up my report. I do this a lot, so I've become very good at writing reports. So I took a few hours, wrote up a report. I remember maybe more than a few hours because I was up late that evening. submitted it to the Copyright Office, so I had a record of it in case somebody came back and said, no, we've never seen this report before. And then we got a lot more data. This is all in the book, but over the next 2 days, they gave us more and more data, and I just kept using the same kind of techniques and then modifying the report, and I gave it to them at the end of the third day of the symposium, and the rules, Lindell had me sign official rules before I could see the data. Everyone had to. And so the official rules said that we needed to get this in by the end of the third day, by 5 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock that evening or 7 o'clock that evening, they would determine a winner, which seemed ridiculous to me because, you know, you can't examine. We're talking about gigabytes of data. How could you determine whether I was correct in 2 or 3 hours? But that's what they said. And so I waited to hear from them, never heard from them. I waited for another week, 2 weeks, a month. And then finally I contacted some lawyers and found some really great lawyers who said, we'll take this on contingency, which means they would pay all their fees and I would pay all the expenses. And they did. So we took it to arbitration. And by the way, they were, when we filed the arbitration as required in the rules that Lindell himself set up, they responded with their analysis of my report, and the analysis was dated a few days after I filed the arbitration, which was already 3 months after the symposium had ended.
So they had never looked at
it. 2 months, maybe. Right. It turned out that they, look, let me say, and again, this is in the book, the details. Lindell's people claimed that they had reviewed my report on the evening that I submitted it and found it to be lacking, that it wasn't legitimate. But they couldn't explain why their analysis was dated 2 months later. And that's just some of the stuff that happened in the courtroom that I think is, to me, was fascinating. I hope that I've written a book about, not just about fraud and con artists and people believing what they want to believe, but also just human nature, that people would say things that were provably false and just stick to them because they just wanted this to be true.
Bob Ziedman on the phone with us, author of Election Hacks, Lindell versus Ziedman. We got to hear the end of the story, though, because we're going to run out of time here. But
okay.
Did you win? I mean, did you win $5 million from the Mike Lindell, Mike Wrong Challenge?
Yeah, the Prove Mike Wrong Challenge. I did. The arbitrators unanimously awarded me the $5 million.
Wow.
By the way, Lindell says that they were biased. They were liberals or biased against him. He and his lawyers chose 2 out of the 3 arbitrators. And I chose the third. I don't know any of their politics. None of us do. But I was unanimously awarded. The thing is, Lindell is still fighting it. He's appealing it. He has no grounds for appeal, but he's just going to keep it in the court as long as he can to avoid paying me. That's what it seems like.
Right, right. Now, we're very much out of time here, but I got to ask you before we run out. Did somebody try to trick Lindell? I mean, he seems like a genuine guy to me. I don't think he's trying to deceive people, and he's clearly not a computer analyst. So did he just pay people who then turned around and said, well, we're just going to give Mike what he wants, and that's how this happened?
The answer is yes, and in the book I can tell you who it was in the background, but at this point, any rational person would know he'd been fooled, and he would come out and say, oh, I was fooled. Everyone is telling me now this data is bogus. But instead, he's doubling down, tripling down. He's just saying, no, 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 you're wrong. The one guy in the world who sold me the data, who's the only person who believes that it's real data. Well, I shouldn't say the only person, but he's the most significant person, claims it's true, and everybody else is lying. So you've got to think, I think he was fooled initially, but now he's just...
he's stuck with it. He's just...
Yeah, he won't admit his mistake.
Yeah, he's pedal to the metal. Well, Bob, I really appreciate your... what you've done, I mean, this book has got to be fascinating. Election Hacks, it just came out. Election Hacks, Lindell versus Ziedman is the name of it if you want to read more about this topic. I find this topic absolutely fascinating, which is why I find your story fascinating, because this election fraud issue is one that is not going away, and it needs more light shined on it. We just need more light. to disinfect this thing, to get the junk claims out of the way so we can focus on the real ones and the
exactly.
bigger. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Bob, thank you for your time, and I appreciate what you've done. This is Wiggins America. If you missed, now this has been a long interview, so if you just tuned in at the end here and you missed the beginning, get the podcast and, of course, get his new book, Election Hacks. This has been Wiggins America. We will see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.